Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love that never ends, that continually is seeking us, that we might be in ministry to one another and to the world around us. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So, as we continue in this sermon series on shape, on determining how God has designed us and how God has created us to be as Christians, as individuals, how God has shaped us, we'll continue to open up these gifts so that we can find out how it is that God is shaping or has shaped each one of us so that we can find true fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things I married into was the Food Channel. My in-laws liked to watch the Cooking Channel or the Food Channel, as well as when we would go visit my wife's grandmother and aunt in Pennsylvania. They were cooks. Now, realize I'm not a cook. Opposites attract, right? It wasn't something that was really celebrated in my life growing up. For some people, they love cooking. They live to eat. That's not me. I eat to live. But I married into a family where they loved to cook. And to be honest, I benefited from it. I learned more about food and preparing food and cooking food than I ever thought I would in a million years. And one of the areas that I first noticed on the Food Channel about all of these cooks cooking is how they would put their ingredients together. They were already in smaller bowls, and they would just pour out the ingredients one after the other into the dish that they were making. And while for me, if I was making something like, well, let's just use chocolate chip cookies, for example, or banana bread, the two things that I do like to make, I would be getting the ingredients one by one out of the bag and putting it into the mix. One by one. Now, the thing about cooking, this way of having all the ingredients already placed in bowls, reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he writes about spiritual gifts. Each one of us is like a unique ingredient, created by God for a specific purpose. Flour cannot be sugar. Sugar cannot be salt. Salt can't be baking powder. But together with several other ingredients, you could produce a wonderful delight, like chocolate chip cookies. Can you imagine salt pretending to be sugar and getting put into the recipe which needs no salt? Yuck! It just doesn't work out that way. For any cook, it's important to know the characteristics of the ingredients that they would be using in the future to create wonderful, succulent, delicious dishes of food to the delight of others. And God is the master chef. And God knows the characteristics of all whom he has created. And God puts us together to create this wonderful concoction of people who love each other, who love and serve God, and create this beautiful environment in which non-believers can come to know, love, and serve God too. Now, Paul is concerned with the early church at Corinth. He is concerned that they didn't understand that God had given to each new Christian some spiritual gift so that they could exist to be more than just believers, so that they could be perfected and become more intentional for Christ. So Paul writes about what God has given to each believer. Read it with me. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Even people in the early church were uninformed about the spiritual gifts God had given to them. And I might say that many Christians today may be unaware of the special gifts that God gives to them too. This is a gift, a spiritual gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, what would it be like if flour didn't understand its purpose of being flour, or how salt would do just the right thing to help a chocolate chip cookie taste just right, or sugar knowing how it would sweeten some pastry. And different forms of sugar on that. And yet when all these ingredients are put into the mix, it creates some sweet, succulent concoction that's hard to say no to. It's together that these ingredients create beauty. It's together, as different as we may be as Christians, when we gather together and act in our spiritual gifting, that we produce a sweet aroma to God that's hard for visitors to say no to. God goes on to write about, or Paul goes on to write about these spiritual gifts. Read it with me. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And he completes this thought by writing this. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The same God at work in each of us using our different gifts. Gifts distributed by the Spirit. Gifts for different services, but the same Lord. Each of us. Each of us have various gifts for God, by God, for the glory of God. Each one of you has a gift that God has given you. Paul makes it clear in the next verse, verse 7, as to the purpose of these gifts each one of you have been given. It says this, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, is given for the common good. The master potter, God, shapes us, gives us gifts for what? The common good. The common good of what? The community of saints. So that they would be encouraged, that they would be taught and discipled, led to worship and grow in their faith, to learn to live generously with our time, our abilities, and our gifts, both the spiritual and the financial, that we may fully love God and love others, so that we might fully love God and love others. We are also shaped for the common good of those who have yet to believe. God wants me to use my gift for those who are not yet believers. Recently, I've been impressed upon by the Spirit this one thought to hold out in front of me at all times. Maybe this is a good thought for all Christians to hold on to. After all, it comes from the Bible. But that all of me should somehow glorify God. That all of me should somehow glorify God. My thoughts should glorify God. My actions should glorify God. My love, my worship should glorify God. My prayers, my generosity should glorify God. My witness, all of these things would bring glory to God who created me, who gifted me. Imagine if every Christian would keep that thought in front of their minds, their heart, their actions, their thoughts. Think of how that would glorify God, especially when we come together as a body of believers. But these gifts are not given to us to fulfill our own wants and desires. They are to be used for the common good of others and to glorify God. Another way that we could say this is that true fulfillment is found in serving God as God designed us to serve. Say that with me. True fulfillment is found in serving God as God designed us to serve. It was a few years ago I decided to make some chocolate chip cookies, chocolate chippers. And I got the ingredients out and I began to put them together, softening butter, adding sugar and brown sugar, white sugar and brown sugar, then adding eggs and making sure that was really good and mixed up. And then the dry stuff, flour, salt, baking powder. And finally, my favorite ingredient, chocolate chips. I put them, mixed them all together. I spooned out some chocolate chips on a pan, and I put the rest in a Tupperware and tucked it in the fridge for a few days later. I mean, who doesn't like warm cookies, right? They baked up and put them on the cooling rack. And you know how you just can't wait for that first cookie from that batch of cookies that you made that are going to last you for another week. Three at a time. You don't need more than three. They were cooling. I couldn't wait. I pulled off one that was still warm, and who doesn't like a warm cookie? Bit into it, and oh my. There was too much salt. I couldn't believe I nearly tossed my cookies, pardon the pun. But I couldn't figure out how I had put too much salt in the dough and ended up having to throw out the whole batch. Oh, I can't believe how painful that was. All of those chocolate chips thrown away. I can't imagine how God feels when Christians come together to create a beautiful environment in which to belong, to worship, to serve each other for the common good of all. And yet when people don't involve themselves, when they don't use their gifts that God has given them, or as Paul said to the Corinthians at Corinth, that they were unaware that they have the gifts and therefore they go unused. Either way, it must be painful for God. There is no fulfillment in serving God because we're not serving as God designed us to serve. And I've noticed how people are frustrated doing stuff that's not within their gifting, but someone has to do it. So people soldier on so that the church doesn't fall apart, while others who are gifted to do something don't do anything at all. Because remember, true fulfillment is found in serving God as God designed us to serve. Friends, don't you hate that feeling of being out of sync with something? It's just not going right. Whatever it is you're putting together or whatever it is that you're doing, you're just a little out of sync. Think how it is for God when we're out of sync working for the Lord. Now maybe it's because you're unsure of how God has gifted you spiritually, but God has gifted you. And your gifts do help point to your purpose in life. In part, it's for you to use to give God the glory as you use your gifts. Not for your glory, but God's glory. And as I said, it's given for the common good, like each ingredient is used for a purpose to create something wonderful. When we all use our gifts, our different gifts, and as diverse as they may be, as we use those gifts in concert with one another, we create a wonderful environment in which people can come to know God and to love God, to worship God, and to finally serve God. Really, how can we build the kingdom of God without being kingdom people, without using our gifts? What would worship service be like without music in which to praise and worship God? How do we break bread together when there is no bread or juice to break because no one has prepared it? How do we really show hospitality without greeters or ushers or people willing to introduce themselves to someone they don't know and striking up a conversation? Some people do that more easily than others. Maybe it's because it's a part of their gifting. How do we disciple others without people willing to share their faith, to help teach, to help lead others, to obey the words of Christ? How do we grow as God intends His church to grow without leaders who will lead, without your generosity and giving of your time and your resources? And more importantly, how will we grow without partnering with God in prayer and partnering with each other in prayer. And I think just as importantly, how do you find true fulfillment in this life, operating outside of God's gifting for you? That's like telling a cook to build a house or a construction worker to sew a quilt. Well, okay, maybe you can do all of those things. But you get the point. I just want you to have the opportunity to make sure you're experiencing the very most that you can out of God's design for you by first understanding what your spiritual gift is. So this week, I want you to discover what your spiritual gift is. Given to you by God, the Holy Spirit. You don't need to take this out. It's just a prop right now. But to take this and to work through the questions and to answer them, it's very simple. You have a zero, hardly ever. You put that in there if the statement is hardly ever true. Or some of the time it's true, or most of the time it's true, or almost always it's true. Very easy to take. You know, I wish it was that God would just have said, here. Here's your gift, Joey. Here's your gift, Gwen. Here's your gifts. Make sure you use them for your glory. No, not your glory, for God's glory. Maybe, Debbie, God gave you the gift of evangelism and you just don't know it. Or Don, the gift of something. Rosemary, Frank. Maybe God is giving you gifts that you're unaware of. I don't know what gift God has given you. Do you know the gift that God has given you? Well, you can have a good idea by taking this inventory. By spending some time doing that, maybe this afternoon or this week. And then at the back of the inventory, there's a write-up on each of the gifts. And figure out what are the top couple of gifts that God has given you. Given you for the good of the kingdom. Imagine the joy serving God, knowing that God has given you this gift and has designed you to use this gift for the common good. And again, to do this will take a little work on your part. You can't just open up one box. Maybe you have to open up three or four before discovering what that gift is. You have to work at it. But by doing this, you'll understand how God has designed you to serve so that you can find true fulfillment, which is found in serving God as God designed you to serve. Look at my hand. It is an amazing thing. And with my hand, I can shake hands with others in a welcoming gesture. I can write notes to others. I can drive my vehicle to visit others. I can hold another person's hand in prayer. I can lift it up to praise God. But without my arms, my hands can't do anything. Without my heart beating, pumping oxygen, and my lungs taking in air, my hands wouldn't get the oxygen that's needed. My spine and nerves wouldn't or couldn't operate to help me to feel. And without a brain, again, you understand. There are many smaller parts that make up all of who we are. And like each part of the body on a person, each part of the body of Christ serves a purpose so that we can operate together, so that we can operate for the kingdom of God, to create more kingdom people for the glory of God, to help people be in relationship with God. Sir Michael Costa was a great orchestral conductor of the 19th century. It is said that one day he was conducting a rehearsal in which the whole orchestra was joined together by a mass choir. Can you imagine the beautiful music they were making together? Midway through the session, a piccolo player stopped playing, and it seemed innocent enough. After all, who would miss a tiny piccolo playing in the midst of a great mass of music and voices blazing away? All of a sudden, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra. Stop! Stop! Where's the piccolo? What's happened to my piccolo? You know, we sometimes may feel like that piccolo player. We don't have much to offer, and if I didn't offer what God had given me, it wouldn't stop anything. No one would notice. Or the thought that others have that same gift too. They do so much better. I'm just not good enough. Yet the great conductor notices and says, stop. I need you to be who you were designed to be. Because you're a part of the masterpiece I have created. Imagine trying to be a kingdom people, missing people who do evangelism well, or being a part of a church where no one offers a greeting, or no one goes up to visitors and says, hi, my name is, who are you? Imagine what kind of church that would be. Or imagine a church where no one would want to teach anyone anything. No one would be teachers. No one would be ushers. No one would greet. No one would preach or teach. No one would lead in music. Imagine what a church like that would be. And it's not hard to imagine, is it? There are many gifts that God gives to all of us. It creates a diversity in which God uses in conjunction with each other to do far more than what one could hope or imagine, or what one person could do on their own. One God, many gifts to glorify one God, and in this you will find true fulfillment. Know your spiritual gift, and then begin operating out of that spiritual gift to find true fulfillment, because you're serving as God designed you to what? To serve. Let us pray. God, you say that all of these gifts are from you. Many gifts, but one Spirit. And that somehow you distribute all these gifts to each one of us just as you have determined to give them. No one gift is less important than another. Although some gifts are behind the scenes and some gifts are in front of the scenes, Lord, they're all important. And so, Lord, help us this week to begin to discover our spiritual gifting, or to reaffirm what we believe is our spiritual gifting. Lord, that you might be glorified, that we might be more informed, that we might be more aware. And God, that we would then begin to operate out of that spiritual gifting. And Lord, as we continue through this series, help us to find our purpose, that we might serve you with joy. Many gifts, one Spirit. How you came up with that, Lord, I don't know, but I just know it works for the community of faith. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.